This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
All right, everyone, welcome back to a very special episode of Friends from Work, a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that's hosted by me, Kyle, and my friend, Robbie, who I am sitting directly next to for the first time on this podcast, but also the first time in 7 years is what we've gotten to the bottom.
Yeah. 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 Wow.
Which is just too long, but here we are.
Yeah. Here we are looking out at the Austin skyline.
Unbelievable. Our first ever live podcast from a Marriott this time. So, hey, Marriott, I'm open for sponsorships. Like I said last time, we have an unbelievable view. We are downtown Austin looking at the actual skyline, looking at each other's beautiful faces.
It's so nice.
There's so much going on, guys, I can't even tell
We're basking in the glow of Black Widow and
unbelievable.
Oh my gosh.
Unbelievable, which is what we're here to talk about today. But there's so much else still going on too.
That's true.
We are reunited. As we said, Robbie and I are going to get into some trouble today, but if you're listening to this, it's a week after that, so I'm sure we'll fill you in some of the developments.
Which is a great way to say again that if you're not following us on social media, that's where a lot of this stuff happens. We actually did a little live stream right after we walked out of the theater last night. No spoilers, obviously, just kind of instant reactions. So if you missed that, that's still posted up on the feed. And there's all kinds of other stuff going on there in terms of week to week. So be sure to follow us at the FFW podcast, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff.
We do have to give a couple of non-paid shout outs here. First of all, the Alamo Draft House.
Yeah.
In Austin, I guess, like South Austin, wherever we were.
Yeah. The South Lamar Alamo Draft House
was amazing. I've never been there. That's your kind of home theater ish.
Yeah.
But not only was the experience so cool, the food's actually legitimately really good.
Yeah. I was so glad. Kyle got a milkshake. I was hoping you would get a milkshake. What flavor did you get, by the way?
Now, I got strawberry.
Nice.
One of our listeners says I have to get the cookies, that they're apparently unbelievable.
Oh, the cookies are great.
Which I didn't.
I've got a friend. I should have told you that. I've got a friend that will, he'll always get like, you know, there's like 40 minutes left in the movie and he'll do like a decaf little coffee, like a French press.
Like a
pick-me-up. Yeah. And then like they come out with the cookie, the hot cookies with it. So it's like, it's a nice little,
yourself. For those of you who don't follow us on social media, we have to share a little bit of a funny story. I was coming from work, so my flight was already going to be close, but we got delayed and pushed it really close.
Yeah, we did.
And so Robbie and I were kind of panicking, like, are you kidding me? After all of this, I'm going to miss the showing. And so I think we were supposed to be there at 5:45 is what it said. And you picked me up from the airport at like 5:43 or something. Like that's when I was in the car.
Right.
And we were 20 minutes away. So we called ahead. We told them that we're going to be late. We rushed in there. Robbie went to park. I took his ID to like go do this. We've never done this before. And we get in there and there's two guys waiting. And I said, hey, I'm Kyle. I'm here. Sorry, we're late. And he's like, oh, you're not late. It doesn't actually start till 6. You're totally good. He's like, were you the one that called? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, oh, we were just going to hold the movie until you got here. No worries. Like we had called the studio to check that was okay. And I was like, wait, what? So right off the bat, we felt like kings.
Yeah.
Let's just call a spade a spade. And he's like, oh, there's water over here. There's a full menu available. Choose whatever seat you like, and we'll start it when you're in there. I'm like, okay, wow. Yeah. And then, so the experience did not disappoint.
And there were like 20 people. Like,
yeah, 15, legitimately I heard them say on the way out.
15, man, that's crazy. Because I asked him if we had assigned seats, and he was like, oh, no, I mean, you don't need to. And there was literally, like, a person or two per row. So we got to sit, like, dead center of the theater. I mean, it was just top, like, top-notch, top to bottom.
So not only are we reunited, not only is the Marriott deserving of a shout-out because this room is dope, the theater experience, top-notch. The movie itself,
man,
was pretty incredible. Okay, hold on. We'll get there in a second. One last tidbit to share that I thought you would find fun. On my flight, for some reason, I've been flying a lot the last couple weeks, and so I've watched a lot of random movies.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I watched Zombieland for the first time ever.
First
time ever. Totally not a zombie guy.
Oh, man.
It was incredible.
That movie's so good.
I laughed so many times.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like gore, but it was funny.
Yeah.
Spoiler, because it's been out forever, but like the Bill Murray thing I didn't know about was so funny. There's so many funny points. But the second thing I watched was Woman in the Window, which is a Netflix thing with Amy Adams.
I've seen
that.
It's
okay.
Yeah.
You've seen it.
So Candace was wanting to watch that for so, so long. And that was one of those that got like pushed back a lot. I remember seeing previews to that movie in theaters like pre-COVID. And so we finally watched it a couple weeks ago.
It's okay.
Yeah, it started strong, I thought, and then got sort of...
But it's Amy Adams and Gary Oldman, and I think it's based off a book, but here's why I found it notable. Did you realize that both Captain Americas are in there? Her Tenet is Wyatt Russell.
I did think about that.
And then her husband is Anthony Mackie.
That's
right. And so now I'm watching this in context of Falcon and Winter Soldier. I'm like, what the heck?
Right.
The fake Cap and the real Cap are there.
I flagged that to Candace because I was like, wow, I bet... Because I'm assuming this was filmed prior to Falcon Winter Soldier, or maybe around the same time. So I was like, well, that's kind of fun. I'm like Anthony Mackie and Wyatt Russell, although they never interact in the movie. But
right. But then I'm kind of thinking, is Chris Evans going to show up here and just make a perfect trio?
Man.
So that was my life for the last 2 weeks. But none of that matters because I'm finally here in person with Robbie watching Black Widow. And hopefully this becomes a thing. We said this on our Instagram Live last night. Hopefully this becomes a little bit of a tradition. You never know. You never know.
Man, I mean, we talked to the folks last night. They're planning these things for future films. We got, as we've said, there's a lot coming out still this year. We have Shang-Chi in theaters. We have The Eternals. And then we have Spider-Man No Way Home, which by the time this releases, maybe there's a trailer out for. I know the internet's getting crazy for that. So fingers crossed there. But yeah, hopefully we have a lot more opportunities to do these little exchange programs.
True. I didn't think about that. We just got a full-length trailer for Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had the teaser for Eternals, which is in November. So we're getting dangerously close to needing a teaser for Spider-Man.
The crazy thing about Spider-Man is, I mean, can you think of any other MCU film that's ended on as much of a cliffhanger as that ended on? And at least like with the post-credit scene. I don't know that I can. I mean, like, they always tease something. I mean, maybe Ant-Man and the Wasp, but we knew exactly what that was leading into, right, because of the way that came out.
Ant-Man and the Wasp was a massive cliffhanger with the dusting,
right.
But you're right, we already knew the dustings.
Right. So, I mean, it was the biggest, I mean, there was the cliffhanger of, well, how's Scott going to get out, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, true. It wasn't as much of a cliffhanger because we already knew it. Good point.
It's just, the reason I say that is, it's so weird. So Black Widow has been on the horizon forever, but as you know, the strange thing there is it was released after Endgame and everyone sort of knew what had happened to Natasha. So it was less of a like what's gonna happen and more of a just like we wanna see more Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow. But like really the MCU left off with Far From Home in July of 2019. And since then, we've just gotten nothing. And that was just the wildest way to end a movie. And then there were so many kind of crazy rumors around that movie that I'm really curious for like any news out of that project. Any real news that's not just like rumors about Tobey Maguire hanging out with Andrew Garfield.
and that's why we always talk about our concern because you're reminding me, the cliffhanger is, oh no, his identity's revealed.
Right.
And I don't want to lose that a little bit.
Right.
You know, I love the multiverse thing, but I kind of hope that the movie centers still a little bit on that
right.
Peter Parker core. Also, that made me think about, yeah, we're in the theater last night and we leaned over to each other and we're like, this is the first Marvel movie. Well, this is not only the first Marvel movie we're watching together,
right,
but it's the first Marvel movie you and I have gone to the theaters to see in almost exactly two calendar years,
right,
in July 2. If you're listening to this, it might actually be right about that time, but it's been about 2 years since we have been in there. So that, I mean, that added to the experience because it just felt good to be back to like watch a movie with friends and eat food. And
it's such a fun, like, if you were in a position, like if you're vaccinated, if you feel like you can safely go to a theater, this movie is such a, like, I feel like it needs to be seen on a big screen because the action sequences are so beautifully done. Like, it really does feel like, I'm a big fan of the Mission Impossible films, especially some of the later ones. And it felt like that. Like, we talked about that last night. Like, it feels like the action is so well done. And it needs to be, like, I mean, the stunt work is incredible. Like, that's something we talk about in our episode with Desmond, that, like, that needs more of a highlight. And here, like, you leaned over because Scarlett Johansson has had the same stunt double since Iron Man 2, right?
I just made the comment that her and her stunt double, at this point, the action feels so natural with her, almost more than any other character, as far as, like, her fighting looks legitimate, looks real, and like whenever it does cut to her face, I'm believing it's Scarlett doing it.
Right.
So they just have got that down perfectly at this point.
It was wild though talking about Far From Home because I realized the last time, like I remember going to see Far From Home in theaters, and Candace was out of town, so I went by myself, which I never mind doing. Going to the movies alone can actually be pretty fun.
Sure.
So, but I remember going, because I was by myself, I called you because I think we saw it almost simultaneously, like the same. I mean, I think like it was the first showing on that Thursday night or whatever. And talking on the way home, and I remember one of us made a comment where it was like, these are the kinds of conversations we could be having if we had a podcast, because it was just like, barely in the baby steps of being something where, like, I don't even think I had bought a microphone yet. We were just trying to figure, and I was about to head over to France. So we were like, how are we going to do this if I'm going to be, because we laughed, like, not only were we starting a podcast whenever the last Marvel movie had come out for a bit, but we were also starting a podcast when I was about to go, like, live in another country.
Right. That's right about then, because I think we released our first episode in September of that year. So it was about July or August that we started having those conversations. Wild to think about. Crazy where it's come.
Yeah, so, look at that.
I was going to say on the Black Widow front, before we dive into breaking it down, I was going to add, I wonder if Disney had a do-over, if they would redo the entire release of this film.
Hmm.
And here's what I mean. Obviously, they got thrown a huge curveball because they were building up momentum for it coming out and hype, and then everything shut down. They couldn't do it, so they delayed it, and they delayed it again. They delayed it again.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I felt like they were just saying, we have to get it out at this point. Like, at some point, we can't delay it 5 years. Otherwise, it won't be effective. But I wonder if, A, would this have been better to not put out right in the middle of Loki, because you already have a million people a week or whatever following something,
right?
First of all. Like, does it steal attention from one? Maybe they're thinking the two kind of add up. But I wonder, like, could they have put this out in 3 weeks just after Loki's finished, capitalize on people watching that show, get them back to theater? And then I wonder if they would redo the premium access, being able to buy it for $30. Now, I have no idea how it's going to go financially, what the ratio is going to be of theaters to people at home. But the movie is good enough and so good that I could see it being, apparently it's already tracking for a $90 million opening weekend.
I saw that.
Which is not pre-pandemic numbers,
right,
but I think everybody would be really happy with.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if you didn't have the option to watch it at home, if that number would actually be in the hundreds of millions, which is right on par with what anyone would hope for.
Yeah.
And I've heard one of our listeners told me that this already is kind of a one-time thing, that they're not planning on doing this already by Shang-Chi.
Oh, interesting.
Which I haven't had that confirmed. So, you know, don't hold me to that. But my point is, it'll just be interesting to see if they end up going back to just theaters for a while. Because also, by the way, when Endgame was out and Spider-Man was out, they didn't have their own platform. Right? Like, we're getting this new era where the movie studios that are coming out with a movie have their own platform for streaming. So does that mean that they get it to streaming now always faster than we used to have? Like, it used to be that the movie would come out and the DVD wouldn't come out until a year later.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a year.
And now I wonder if they're going to go more to like a, hey, it's theaters for 60 days and then you can watch it on our platform exclusively.
This is a dumb question that I just don't know the answer to because I've never done the Disney Plus premium purchase thing. When you pay that $30, do you have the movie now, like forever? Or is it just like you, like an Amazon rental, you have it for like 2 days or something?
Oh gosh, don't quote me on this. Listeners can definitely help with this. When I bought Mulan, I think you only have it for a certain amount of time. You don't own it. Okay. It's like they're using it as a replacement for going to the theater where you'd pay a $15
ticket. Makes sense. Because I guess I think the idea being if you, especially if you are a family, then it's like, you know, four tickets. That's about...
It's cheaper.
Right.
It'd be cheaper to watch at home if you had four people. Yeah. With two of us, $15. Well, we go to IMAX anyways, so probably, but yeah.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, I just said this in terms of the action, but also like if you are in a position where you feel comfortable going to a theater, please go to a theater just for the sake of the theater industry, because it is such a, like even being there last night versus like as much as we loved WandaVision and like the excitement of that and the immersion of that, and as much as like I loved especially like that first episode of Loki, it's just a different thing. Like it's a different, like there's a different magic when you're in a theater with other people and you're experiencing it in that way, like all collectively. And I really would hate if that were to go away and we were to move, like Kyle and I talked about this through the entire pandemic, because it's just like it's such a unique part of our culture that I don't want to lose that to just another kind of like individualized, separate, like isolated thing of like, no, we're just gonna all watch it on our, oh, we like, you know, it's like, well, I have such a big screen at home, I'll just watch all this stuff by myself. And I just think there's a loss there collectively. And so again, if you can, like, please support your local theaters there.
And so guys, on that note, in an effort to get people back into movie theaters so they can experience Black Widow like we did, we are partnering with Atom Tickets, ATOM. If you haven't heard of Atom Tickets before, let me tell you about this. If you're listening to this podcast, you obviously love movies. We think Atom Tickets, ATOM, is the best way to go to the movies. Atom Tickets is a movie ticketing app that's super easy to use. You can buy your tickets online through the app, and ahead of time, you can choose your seats and even pre-order concessions at some theaters. How dope is that? If you go to Google and search buying movie tickets, okay, you'll get five different options of how to buy your movie tickets. Why not use Atom? The app itself is incredible. And here's where we want to share this part with you. If you are a new Atom app user and you sign up with the promo code FRIENDSFROMWORK, you can save $2 off your purchase. So even if you've bought your tickets already for Black Widow, you're probably going to go again. And even if you're not going to go again, then use this Friends From Work sign-up code for first-time users for some other movie, like Quiet Place 2.
The new Fast and the Furious movie is also out. There's tons to see for the first time in a long time. It's generally exciting to just be getting back safely into movie theaters. And this app makes it easy to get to thousands of theaters across the U.S. So you can just enter code FRIENDSFROMWORK. We'll note that here in our show notes in case you forget. You shouldn't. It's the title of our podcast. But you enter FRIENDSFROMWORK to get $2 off your movie ticket on the Atom Tickets app.
So again, they have iOS and Android apps. Enter code FRIENDSFROMWORK to get $2 off your next movie ticket. And we will see you back in the movie theaters. Terms apply. Okay. So before we dive into our first reactions to Black Widow, which obviously, everybody, we cannot give any kind of spoiler of any kind of magnitude. So we're just going to give you our reaction. This is not a review or a plot point.
Right.
But
Black Widow dies, though, I will say.
careful. Now, Tom Holland joked about that one time. Remember, everyone dies. Or who said that? Hulk? that was like his joke in the interview. And then it was like, wait, everyone kind of did die in Infinity War. Right, it's like, hey, careful.
That's true.
I mean, and I didn't, I guess, live stream it from my pocket, which is a step
up. Dude,
I
was legitimately nervous about that because we had had Instagram. Like, we did a story right before it started.
True,
and I was sitting there thinking, like, this is going to be brutal of our first experience.
And I went back and watched our stories from inside the theater, and you can hear in the background, it's like the Cantina Band or something. They were doing some kind of Star Wars ad, just like, boot, doot, 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 in the background. I was like, what if in the background had been something important? I got to be careful with these things, okay? I don't want to become Mark Ruffalo. But we have a fun community question of the week. So this will eventually insert an audio cue, everyone, okay? So something fun right there. But I thought this would be a good time to bring up a community question of the week because it transitions us perfectly into talking about our reactions to Black Widow.
Yep.
One of the questions we got last night while we were doing an Instagram Live, again, if you don't follow us at the FFW Podcast, and by the way, please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, follow, listen to our podcast, share with your friends, do all of that stuff. We have a website, theffwpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. You can buy our shirt there. You can donate to the podcast. And following and listening is the best way you can support us. So anyways, but one of the questions we got last night doing the Instagram Live was, where does this movie sit in our rewatch order?
Right.
Which is something Robbie is very passionate about.
Right.
And we debated how much we can say, but I think at this point we can say that we think we have a very good spot for it.
Yeah.
And we can't give any plot points away, but take it away with what you think we should do.
So in the general rewatch framework, which you may, you know, my dream, whenever we were thinking Black Widow was going to be coming out in 2020, at one point, my dream had been for us to actually structure the rewatch this way, where if we had been able to kind of like, you know, make it just so that with that initial Black Widow release would have fallen in between these films. And this is pretty much where it landed. And I'm happy about that. We, looking at it, I think if anyone wants to kind of do their homework and like blaze through, in our rewatch order, this would slot in right between Black Panther and Spider-Man Homecoming. So that's sort of our Civil War fallout thing, which shouldn't be a huge surprise to anyone because I think that's been known for a bit. So it would be Civil War, Black Panther,
Black Widow,
Spider-Man Homecoming, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Now, this is actually a part of our rewatch order that we have messed with a little bit in the past. And the reason we ultimately settled on this order is because we want Civil War to have more impact. We've said that in this podcast a lot. Every time we add a movie there, it's so that the gap between that of, oh, the team's torn up, to Infinity War, where you really feel, oh, the team was torn up. That's why they, you know, if you just kind of blaze through those movies, you don't quite get the impact of what happened in Civil War.
Right.
But every time we add a movie, this one included, it kind of increases the drama around the Civil War fallout.
And I think, and again, not to be prisoner of the moment here, like you say, but I think this one more than any other increases the depth of that. Because if you think about it, like, I think each of those movies that we have in that little, like, what was previously a trilogy do that in their own way, where Black Panther deals with specifically the aftermath of King T'Chaka's death, which was a big moment in Civil War. And then Homecoming deals with a bit of what's going on with Tony post-breakup. And, like, we get the development with him and Pepper there, which is pretty big ahead of Infinity War. And then we get to see what's going on with Spider-Man specifically after. And then prior to this, I always thought one of the reasons I like having Ant-Man and the Wasp there, which is one of the more, some people quibble with that because they still think it should go after Infinity War. But I like it there because that's the one where you really see the consequences because Scott's on house arrest. However, it's still kind of lighthearted. Like, I mean, he's on house arrest, but it's like the joke is that he's, you know, playing his drum kit and everything. This is the only movie of any of those that focuses on like a core Avenger during that. So like, if the whole point of Civil War is that the Avengers are no longer a thing, we've never gotten a moment with one of those Avengers dealing with that.
True.
And so that, and you felt that. Like, I don't think it's giving anything away to say that, like, Kyle and I were so happy with the number of times.
It's a lot.
That this movie references, like, the situation. And I loved it because you feel that. And the other thing for me that we were just talking about is, like, I feel like Natasha's arc, starting even back in Iron Man 2, was really progressing along a certain path. Like, if you think about her, like, if she's just being introduced there, then she jumps way forward with the way she's, we get to know her in Avengers, and then Winter Soldier is a big film for her, and then Age of Ultron is, like, a hugely emotional thing for her with Bruce, and we find out about her past. And then Civil War, there's so much going on, we didn't get a ton of time with Natasha.
And she's not the core emotional driver in that movie at all.
Right. Right, and then same with Infinity War. And then obviously she's got a really big role in Endgame, but it feels a bit, by the time you get to Endgame, that you haven't gotten a lot of real development with Natasha since Winter Soldier,
well,
or since Age of Ultron.
You've had plot development, but especially the emotional connection.
Right.
Like, we love what they do with her in Endgame and how handles her emotion that way, but it almost feels now in hindsight a little out of place without this story.
Yeah.
Which is weird. So I'm with you. Which it really enhances it in that way. I almost wonder, though. Well, I can't say I'm pausing because I can't say too many spoilers. But I just think it'd be fun to show. If I was showing people the movies the first time, it'd be fun to show them this movie in that spot.
Right. No, for sure. Like, I think that it. We've always talked about since our very first episode how, like, when you're doing things like this, the gold standard for us has always been Rogue One. In the Star Wars universe, because that is, first off, just one of the best Star Wars movies, period, which is maybe a hot take.
But my favorite.
It's your favorite, yeah. And because it's, for a lot of reasons, but one thing it does so well is it enhances a movie that is, like, one of the classics.
Already
of,
almost perfect.
Yes. Like, of, like, all of film. Like, I mean, the first Star Wars film that you could be forgiven for thinking would be a sin to even touch, right? And, like, why would you even mess with
that? I remember going in being like, oh, gosh.
Right.
Like, don't do something to Darth Vader that is going to ruin the canon of Darth Vader.
Right. But instead, they enhance whenever you watch that, because I've done a Star Wars watch where we watch that right before A New Hope. And it's perfect. It's like those two together are, like, it makes the original even better. And this, I think, does that so well, like, with the entire Infinity Saga. Like, if this was intended to have come out earlier and they felt they had to rush along to do Captain Marvel and set up for Infinity War and Endgame and whatever else, like, I'm glad that they circled back. Like, I'm glad they didn't just say, well, you know, the story's told, so we're going to kind of move on from Scarlett Johansson. Because it's like, I really think if you let people watch it in that order, they're really going to experience, like, that character on a whole new level, which is all you could really ask for from a solo film.
And it should just be noted that at this point, Scarlett Johansson's got it down.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
she's so excellent. And I do feel like she's been one of these characters that's actually been good and settled into her role from the get-go. Like, I know she's playing the sexy secretary thing that they joke about in Iron Man 2 and is not her favorite and not Marvel's favorite. But even in that role, I never felt like she's out of place. When they go to the donut shop and she double twists. And it's like, from the beginning, she's been settled in. But I'm watching this and it's just like, you're getting the best Scarlett Johansson. You're getting the action stuff that you want. But she's also now at this point gotten the emotional side so dialed in.
Yeah.
It just feels so natural.
And one thing I was on the lookout for that we've talked about in Loki, which is so crazy because we're kind of in two worlds at the same time right now. But, you know, Loki taking place technically with, like, the 2012 version of Loki and kind of how well they have or haven't nailed that.
This is the Civil War version-ish.
Right. And, you know, we've seen, like, from her perspective, it's got to be somewhat difficult because, you know, when you're talking about, like, Falcon Winter Soldier or WandaVision, they have the benefit of being at the end, like, you know, at the furthest point in their story. So they can, like, live with all that history and move forward. Whereas she went through with, like, Endgame and has sort of, like, tied off that character in this really dramatic and kind of fulfilling way and then has to rewind and get back into the place that her character was, you know, 4 years prior or whatever, or 9 years prior. And I thought that she did that really, really well. Like, I need to watch it in the sequence, but thinking about where that character is between Civil War and whenever we meet back up with her in Infinity War and especially Endgame, I think it was a perfect, like just talking about her being settled in, like a perfect way to portray that.
And what's crazy is I don't want to say that she's forgotten. She's not a forgotten Avenger. She's not, you know, she's one of the main six, but sometimes I almost forget that she's one of the main six. And right. Actually, I think she's technically been in the most films at this point now. You have to research that. Don't quote me on that. But I thought I had read that because it's like, let's think. She's been in Iron Man 2. Like, this is the difference. She's been in the Iron Man saga, but she's also been in the Cap saga.
Right.
She's in Iron Man 2. She's in Cap 2, Cap 3, all four Avengers movies.
Yeah.
Which is also different because not every Avenger's in each one.
Right.
And now this. So.
Yeah, that's true.
This movie does a really good job of making sure that we don't gloss over the work that Scarlett Johansson and Black Widow as a character has done for her and for the MCU. Now, what's interesting too is tomorrow we're going to put out a special episode where we got a chance to sit down and interview Kelly Thompson, who is one of the writers on the Black Widow comic run and a very notable one at that.
Yeah.
And the interview, we were going to put it in an episode, but it was just so much fun.
Right.
That we are making it a standalone episode. And man, once you see the movie, so much of what we were talking about with her as a character, I was thinking about while I was watching the film. So I think you're going to want to listen to tomorrow's episode too, because it really does help get you in like a correct Black Widow mindset. Right. Did you notice that?
You got to get your mind right.
Yeah, you got to get your mind right. And Kelly's going to help you get your mind right.
It's so funny. I was just thinking about that interview because one thing that she talked about is how, like, the Black Widow character has been a favorite, if not since Iron Man 2, at least since the Avengers. I mean, like, I remember the part of me that loves these, like, Mondo posters and other kind of, like, alternative movie posters. There was, like, this incredible Black Widow poster, kind of Avengers era, that was kind of made for the movie that people were hoping would come out soon. And it's just funny to think, I mean, that's what Kelly talks about, how it's like, this is a movie that people have been looking for a long time. And so again, it's like, I think it's really important that it doesn't feel like it's made out of obligation or like it's an afterthought, you know, because it could, because it is being made after the saga.
The thought.
I mean, the thing that she like really participated in, and to be fair to them, I mean, it normally would have come out, you know, less than a year after, or a year after Endgame. And now it's been this like back and back and back, but yeah, it is like, I think that's a great way of putting it. Like it did a great job of really like really honoring Scarlett Johansson's performance and really honoring Natasha's place within kind of the entire mythology.
Okay. So as far as my reactions though, I need people to understand the perspective because I do think it's really important. I know on this podcast we've talked a lot about how I'm not into comics, so I don't have the history with that. I just have a history with Black Widow as far as the MCU, and at this point it's a long-running history. But that's it. I don't have another preconceived notion. So again, I need people to know that I'm an optimistic person in general, but I'm kind of a skeptical viewer when I go in the first time because I am thinking – it's not that I sit there every day and go, oh, Marvel's eventually going to mess up and I'm going to catch them. Mm-hmm. But I do think eventually there's going to be a movie that I'm just like, I don't care as much about. Like, that means surely they're going to make one of 50 at some point or 100 at some point where I go, okay, that's just not as much for me. Like, I was into Tony and I was into Steve. But, you know, and the trailer for this movie does not do it any justice. You and I talked about that the second we walked out of the theater. The trailer guy's garbage for whoever makes this. I'm sorry if you're listening. But I have been so lukewarm on everything Black Widow from the second I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
I have a Marvel podcast, so I don't come on here every day and rip it. But I have just been really lukewarm about it. My wife knows that. We've gotten to some arguments about it because she's been like, you don't know yet. You haven't seen it. And I'm like, I know, but I'm just, the trailer's not doing it for me. And I'm nervous with the extra time. And it's a movie that's retrospective. Like there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, this might just not be my scene. And Natasha is already one of the characters I am a little bit less invested in versus some of the other big Avengers. And I just left the theater like, I had so much fun. I left feeling like I was just wrong on a lot of it. It really does work. You need to hear that coming from me, not just comic guy.
Right.
Like that, it really works. And as of right now, while we're recording this, we were just looking it up. I was thinking, man, this is going to be another Marvel movie that I think critically and audience score is going to get in the 80s or 90s again. Mm-hmm. And after we walked out, I looked at you and said, like, what am I missing? Like, is there something before I put this review up that isn't good and I'm just prisoner of the moment because, you know, we're together it's a nice theater and I'm eating good food and, like, it's I flew for this and it's fun. But I don't think there is. I just do think it's genuinely good. I think it's going to fall into that category, which is crazy to say again. You know, we always say, is it top 10? What's crazy is I'm loving so many of the movies. I'm running out of space in the top 10.
Yeah.
Like a 12th ranked movie now is becoming like one of my favorite movies.
Right.
Which is weird to say. So like if I say something's like 12th or something, that's going to sound like, oh, that sucks. Right. That's But I'm like, no, the top 10 are all elite films. But I think that this is going to go A, in the category of the discussion of best solo films. Mm-hmm. I really do think that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to go in that discussion of, it's just going to fall down to your preference a little bit because it's kind of like Winter Soldier in this way. Mm-hmm. I walked out going, the movie itself, like if I'm just a critic and I'm not invested in the MCU, is pretty close to perfect.
Right.
There's no chemistry weirdness.
Right.
There's no plot stuff that doesn't make sense or a huge hole. The acting is superb, not just from Scarlett, but also from a lot of other people, but mainly also Florence Pugh.
Yeah,
is,
and David Harbour is great as
And David, I mean, they're all good. That's why I always say about Marvel, all the side characters are good, but it's really good still.
Right.
And the action and the visuals are top-notch.
Yeah.
Like, the action is, like, edgier seat, like, heart-pounding action. Yeah. It's fun.
It looks really, like, the CGI looks really good. Like, it looks very, like, Winter Soldier-y, and then I feel like they tried to do as much practically as they could, or at least it feels that way.
And I know we say this a lot, but the music is incredible.
Yeah.
And I need to do more research. You have my word, I'm gonna do more research before my actual review episode. Because whoever did it killed it. Mm-hmm. It is like noticeably good, which is a welcomed addition from some of the failure of the early MCU, we feel like.
Right.
Now I feel like since that era again, since that, you know, 2014 mid tier, you know, season two type stuff, not season two, phase two.
Right.
The music's gotten really good. So I say all that to say I left with it exceeding my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
By a good margin, maybe.
Yeah, I was expecting this movie to be good. Like, I think that I had enough faith in Scarlett, if nothing else, and the like the performances that she's turned in to kind of be the core of the movie, so that I didn't think it could turn out bad. But I was a little worried that between the timing and between, I mean, everyone's ramping up towards what's the future, right? Like, and we've got these other movies coming out that are so kind of pushing the envelope. And even like WandaVision and Loki are really pushing the envelope in certain ways that I was like, is this just going to feel like this kind of way out of place? Like, and here's this other movie that we meant to come out with a long time ago.
Right.
And it's just like, so for a lot of reasons, I was just worried that it wasn't going to really do anything that exciting. But even like, as I'm saying all of that, I didn't take into account how kind of stylistically bold it would be. Like, from the very beginning, there's stuff where you're like, this is different than any other Marvel movie, like the way that they're doing this.
That was one other note I was going to add. People are asking, oh, is it Winter Soldier? No.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not. Like, stylistically, it's more Mission Impossible meets James Bond kind of thing.
But also more emotional.
And more emotional than Winter Soldier is. Like, I think if you like Winter Soldier, you'll still probably like this. But I just mean, like, yeah, I was expecting exactly what you're saying.
Right.
I mean, we looked at each other in the theater and we're like, this is different than we thought in the best way. And so that's why when I left a comment for Marvel, which maybe they'll see, who knows, I just am continuously blown away. I think I said that they can just kind of redefine the genre and, like, push the boundary. Because you and I are passionate about this. People all the time say, well, that's so Marvel, or like, oh, that's a superhero movie. But it's getting to the point with Marvel where you don't know what that means.
Right.
Like, if I say it's a superhero movie, you don't know if you're going to get WandaVision, 50s sitcom drama.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if you're going to get Guardians of the Galaxy, like, sci-fi comedy action. And you don't know if you're going to get something like this, which is, like, Mission Impossible with heart.
Yeah.
And they're all under the same umbrella of Marvel. But mm-hmm. like we talked about with Kelly, it's amazing that they can continuously find ways to right. not just run it back.
Right.
Like this, if there ever was a movie that they could just run back, it's right. this one. It got delayed, it's out of time, and it never feels like that. It feels yeah. bold. It feels like right. they're pushing it again somehow.
Right. And whereas, like, I think one of the things I was comparing it to a lot for various reasons was Captain Marvel, because that was the other kind of big solo film that's come out recently, period. But it's also the one that was kind of going back in time, right? I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't feel like there are any other MCU films that have come out not really relatively in the timeline. I mean, arguably Guardians Volume 2, but not really in a way that feels like they're slotting it back somewhere. And it's obviously different because Captain Marvel introduced Captain Marvel, and Black Widow, like we just said, has been in so many other films. But I will say, like, some of the things that we talked about and that I know a lot of fans have talked about Captain Marvel, maybe not always 100% nailing that. Like, I do think it sometimes enhances things. Like, and we talked about that with, like, adding some of the history of Fury and things. But sometimes when I watch it back in our rewatch order, I'm like, I don't know that this 100% slots in, that it, like, I still think that that's the best place for it, like, where we have it in our watch order. But
don't,
I mean,
don't,
like,
question his order. Don't question his order.
But, you know, like, if you watch that Fury and then you see Fury in, like, Cap, well, you've already seen him sort of in Cap 1, but you see him in Iron Man, like, I think it still works, but it's not necessarily like, oh man, this, like, really enhances.
Now we have so much more knowledge about Fury. This makes right. more sense.
Right. Because it's like the part of the mystery around Fury was always kind of what was fun anyway. And so here I would just say, like, countless times that's done so well. Like, there are questions, like, we've watched these movies, I mean, literally countless times. Like, I'm not, I've watched all of them so many times. And there
you more than me, probably.
For sure, for yeah. sure. But there were questions answered that I never even really had. Like, some connective tissue between, like, where things left off in Civil War and where they are again in Infinity War that I had never really thought of as, like, plot holes or anything, that this movie sort of, like, just kind of very naturally addressed, which is, again, kind of a Rogue One thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I just think that people are going to
fixes the plot holes. Like, Rogue One fixes right. the plot holes, but also enhances the not plot hole.
Right, right.
Like, Vader's not a plot hole.
Right.
But then you get to see Vader just, like, destroying people, and it actually adds a level of terror to right. Vader that you maybe are lacking in the original trilogy,
mm-hmm.
but you're supposed to have. Like,
right.
this is a guy who's gone full-blown dark side, and so you get that last, like, 2 minutes, like, the coolest Vader you've ever seen.
Right.
And he's supposed to be all powerful, you know, and so you never really had that a ton.
Right.
So in that way, it enhances it. But then you also have the plot holes of, like, how does the Death Star have
right.
a freaking tunnel that you just blow it up with? Oh, let's say that it was actually planned as an act of rebellion.
Right.
Makes so much more sense. And there's not the same level of plot holes between Civil War and
for
Infinity
sure,
War
for sure.
at all. But it still does those things.
And it feels like, to me, like, I almost wonder if we're lucky that Endgame came out, because everyone, like, it seems like some of the creators were able to really sit in that. And what I would imagine is normally, you know, we've talked some about the production schedules. And I remember whenever we had Matthew Berry on, you know, he talked about, like, how whenever he filmed Endgame, like, Ragnarok was coming out. And I just imagine there's, like, a lot of rush. Like, I know that, like, you know, for Black Panther, like, they were filming Black Panther and some of these Infinity War scenes, like, at the same time.
They would walk over from right. one studio to the other.
So I'm sure it's like, oh, you're doing that? Okay, we're going to have to do this. Or, like, I remember Marcus and McFeely talking about that with Ragnarok. They're like, what the heck are you doing with Thor? Like, we're going to have to, like, figure that out now in Infinity War. And I feel like had this come out, like, or, you know, for sure pre-Endgame, but even maybe, like, as early as we might have hoped, I don't know that they would have been able to sit with that as much. Like, I don't know how much reworking has been done, but it feels very much like this movie, in a way that doesn't feel heavy-handed at all, is setting up Natasha's in-game story really well. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
I'm listening to you say that. I'm like, that's why the team up top, Kevin and his cronies, have to have so much care and right. so much meticulous attention to detail to have the things you're saying
right.
not ever really conflict.
Right.
This is like another example of it just fits
right.
seamlessly. There's not much more we can say without right. really, you know, going into it. Next week, we're going to give the full-blown review on the actual plot details. But all I want to say is I do think going in with the expectation we had ended up being beneficial in this mm-hmm. case. There's always going to be like the end game thing where if you go in with, okay, this has got to be the right. best move they've ever right. made. They got to land the plane. There's so many different things that got to tie up. Then you can sometimes almost miss the expectation on the first watch because mm-hmm. you were so nervous. So I think there is a benefit sometimes to going in thinking it's going to be
for sure
average. But I just have a hard time thinking to myself that any of you guys out there listening are going to dislike it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much to dislike in the movie.
If you just if you just are someone that does not at all care about Natasha Romanoff, then maybe you won't like it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like,
it's still fun though, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is the thing. Like, it's, and maybe we haven't said that as much, but it is like, there were some funny jokes. Like, you and I laughed like several times. And so that's worth pointing out. And I think a lot of that comes from Florence Pugh, who, like you said, like, is like, she was great in this film. David Harbour was hilarious in this film. And that takes me back, before we wrap up, to what you were saying earlier, where like, yeah, the way this chemistry was playing out in those trailers and the TV spots was not working for me. And it made me nervous because I was like, this is just like, if this is the core of this, like these relationships, I was not like, I hope that we don't get that much of it. Like, I hope that we get like a lot of other Scarlett Johansson stuff, because this is not feeling like it's good. And whatever it was, if it was the editing, if it was like pulling things out of context, like that stuff works so well. Like now it is kind of the core of the movie in a way that I think is like very much satisfying.
I can't emphasize how true that is. I was so on that trailer.
Right.
Specifically, dude, even the action in the trailer looked a little weird at times.
Yeah.
But specifically that dynamic, I was like, oh gosh, I'm just not buying it. And right. I can't emphasize, I felt totally the opposite.
Yeah.
I was in there going like, I feel totally the opposite. So trailer guys should be fired, but the Marvel team knows what they're doing actually making the movie.
Kate Shortland, I would love to see more of in the MCU, obviously. Like, it'll be curious to see what that might look like moving forward. I don't want to give anything away. But the other thing I was going to say on the creative front, and this is my last piece, I was curious because Kyle and I both saw these names pop up in the credits that I hadn't seen. We had heard that Jack Schaefer was on this film.
Oh yeah.
I was going to say, sort of similar to what we said about WandaVision, this is a totally, totally different project in almost every way.
Jack Schaefer was the creator of WandaVision, just for those who are forgetting
right,
what that
is. Right, that's true. We've had a lot of content since then. But, you know, we always said, okay, you may not like what WandaVision's doing. Like, you just may not like the genre. It may be too weird for you. It may be too boring for you, like the sitcom stuff or whatever. But, like, to the extent that you are, like, okay with the direction itself, it could not be executed any better. Like, we had always said, like, this is, like, there weren't any hiccups, right? There weren't like, oh, the acting's bad here, oh, the writing's bad here, like the execution. And I feel the same way here. And I'm not saying that that's like a totally Jack Schaefer thing, because obviously Matt Shackman was big in WandaVision, Kate Shortland was big here, but like, I don't know, she's kind of batting two for two at this point.
Yeah, you start like taking tabs of who are those people
right.
that you really feel tied to. You know, for me, it was the Russo brothers. But mm-hmm. then as I got to know you, we started throwing in Marcus and McFeely. And
right.
I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, those are the films that I'm also enjoying the writing. But yeah, I'm kind of now taking mental tabs of like, okay, I've liked some of the stuff Michael Waldron's done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking what Jack Schaefer's doing. So
right.
like now in the future, if I see Jack Schaefer, I think I'm going to be like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad.
Well, and the other name I saw was Eric Pearson, and I thought when I saw that.
I don't know who that is.
So, you know, having a look, like whenever we were doing credits on all the rewatch episodes, he has these roles as doing an uncredited rewrite on a lot of MCU films. And we never know what that means, because remember how I said Markson McFeely had that role on Guardians 1?
Oh, yeah. And then I don't like Guardians 2 as much.
Right. And so you're always like, I don't know how much that impacts. Like, is he coming in and cleaning things up or tightening? But like, he was on Spider-Man Homecoming. I think he was on one or both of the Ant-Man films. He was on the Avenger, like I think Infinity War and Endgame.
And those are all good dialogue type movies.
Right. But he's credited as having written, you know, he's not an uncredited rewrite. He's credited as a writer on Ragnarok, which is, you know, for me, about as high as it gets. And
okay,
then
interesting.
Yeah. So I mean,
we need
he's
to get to the bottom
pedigree.
Of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be fun to figure out what that means.
Maybe we should just have him on the show.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean by it's kind of fun to now start taking these tallies like that.
Right.
Okay. Well, we got to talk to that guy because I want to know what that means, because we're liking what he's doing, apparently.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
You know, it's interesting you bring up the Guardians 2 thing, because mm-hmm. the one time he didn't do it is the time that I really have some qualms with some of the dialogue.
Right.
And like exactly that, actually. At times I've been like, it just needed to be like, tightened up and trimmed up a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it would be fascinating to see what that process looks like, and to the extent that folks could tell us about that.
Well, we can't say any more, but I really hope you guys go see it. And I mean this seriously. I think you're going to love it. And then when you want to talk about it, we're going to have a podcast next Monday talking about this movie in full review, but mm-hmm. also on our Slack channel. I think starting July 9 or July 8 at 6 p.m. or whatever, it's going to be fair game for people to start
spoiling.
Yeah, spoiling and talking on there. Now, we try to keep our spoilers off this podcast until the episode, and we try to keep the spoilers off our social media pages because you don't have a warning there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think by Monday, we'll probably start having some Well, even we'll have to talk about that, Rob, because even some of the movies we've never covered a live movie before.
Right.
So how much time do we give people on our Instagram before they can jump in there? But Slack channel will be safe for spoiling, unsafe if you're trying to avoid spoilers.
Right. And we might even, as of right now, there is a Black Widow channel that you can go to and kind of exchange theories and hype up with other folks. Like, the Slack channel has been growing. It's become a really fun part of this mm-hmm. whole process. And so if you're listening and you're not on, you know, we've got a couple days until Black Widow, that'll be a really fun place for you to go. I know we have a lot of folks there in the Slack that have just expressed that you know, the same reason they came to the podcast is they don't have a ton of people for whatever reason in their life that they can geek out about Marvel with. And so if that's you, then the Slack is a really fun place to do that with. And the Black Widow channel even now will be a fun spot. We might introduce maybe a Black Widow channel and then a Black Widow spoilers channel.
Okay.
You know, so that folks can kind of do both in that overlap. But we'll talk about that.
So just for some housekeeping things, this is really important. I want you guys to stay in the loop. Obviously, we talked about Loki last week. That's going to keep continuing on every Thursday until Loki's finished. So our Loki episodes are coming out on Thursdays. But today was a Black Widow preview. Tomorrow, as we said, you're going to hear from Kelly Thompson, and she talks a lot about the Black Widow comics. But even if you're not a comic person like myself, she gets into it with me. I get into it with her about like the MCU in general, and she has a very fun, healthy, good perspective on it that I think will actually enhance your MCU experience.
Yeah.
So then that's tomorrow. Wednesday is a new Loki episode. Thursday is our new breakdown of that episode. Guys, on Friday, Robbie and I are talking to Natalie Holt. She's the composer from Loki. Just throwing that out there. So that interview is going to come out probably the following week sometime. Mm-hmm. So that can enhance your Loki stuff, which we're stoked about because, you know, if it goes at all like the Henry Jackman one, we're loving this trend of talking to composers.
Still working on that Christoph Beck interview.
Oh, that's so true. And then we have a Black Widow actual review next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then right away that week, like I said, we probably have some more interviews, and Loki comes out again on that Thursday. And so it's just going to get crazy for a little while. Like we said on our Instagram last night, if you're not a fan of Friends from Work, this is a bad time for you because you're just getting assaulted with stuff. And don't forget, like, stay in touch with us on social media, because, like, while Robbie and I are together, it's been really fun to chat with people. And mm-hmm. we did a couple Instagram lives and stuff like that. So at the FFW podcast on all social media fronts, you can join our Slack. The join link is in the show notes below mm-hmm. wherever you're listening to this podcast. Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. So show notes there. Don't forget, you can get merch, theffwpodcast.com/shop, or you can donate theffwpodcast.com/donate. And we would very much appreciate that so that we can continue to keep doing some of these cool things we're doing. Yeah, guys, I can't wait for you to see it. It's going to be so much fun. This is going to be a busy week. Stay in touch with Friends from Work, and we'll see you tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah.
On Friends from Work.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.